Welcome. First of all, welcome. This is Unsolicited Perspectives. I'm your host, Bruce Anthony, here to lead the conversation in important events and topics that are shaping today's society. Join the conversation and follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, watch our video podcast, rate, review, like, comment, share. Share with your friends, share with your family, hell, even share with your enemies. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about right-wing influencers. I'm going to be talking about a rise of Nazi sympathizers on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to be going through memes with Bruce. But that's enough of the intro. Let's get to the show. You know, I have said before that I'm not going to be a hypocrite. When using a platform, no matter how small or big your following is, you must remain authentic, honest, and understand that what you're putting out in the world, people are going to listen to, they're going to watch it. They can gain some stuff, they can lose some stuff. But what you say on platforms matters. With that being said, y'all remember the crazy plane lady? Y'all remember the crazy plane lady? The crazy plane lady that yelled out, this is not real. That person's not real on American Airlines. Her name is Tiffany Gomez. That's how she get her popularity. She's a real estate developer from Texas. She's not done with her 15 minutes of fame because she's become a right-wing influencer. What does that even mean? Well, she just posted a photo on her Instagram or Twitter, X. I still call it Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. It's Twitter to me. In which she's in a bikini. And look, I'm not going to lie. She looked good. All right. Let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it 100. She looked good. Shorty looked good. All right. So I'm going to put that out there first. Not being biased here. I'm not saying that she's some ragamuffin. Shorty looked good. All right. So I'm not opposed to seeing pictures of her in a bikini. And I'm sure most people that are interested, that are just understand, that just enjoy attractiveness. You don't have to necessarily like women. If attractive people are your thing, she's an attractive person. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deny her that. But she took a picture in a bikini, holding a can of ultra-right beer. That's a right-wing alcohol company. And look, there's a reason why I said she looked good. And I'm not the only one, because it got 8 million views and it sparked a lot of discussion because, like I said, once again, she was taking a picture with this right-wing ultra beer. And I'll get into that in a minute. But also, she looked good. That's the reason why you're going to get 8 million views if you look good. All right, let me get into this right-wing ultra beer. Right-wing ultra beer gained popularity among certain conservatives after some boycotted Bud Light after his partnership with the transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney. Some of y'all might remember that. Some of you might not. In Transgender Appreciation Month, I don't remember exactly what it's called off the top of my head, but we're acknowledging the LGBTQ plus community and trans. Bud Light partnered with Dylan and created one can in support of him. Right-wing conservatives said, well, Bud Light is supporting trans, right? They feel so strongly about trans people that they decided to boycott Bud Light. And let me tell you something, right-wing conservatives, when they take their dollars away, it makes an impact. That just lets you know how many of them actually are, because Bud Light has been dropping in stock. You know, they've been losing money because of that partnership. They haven't switched it. They still acknowledge it. I don't drink beer, but if I did, I would drink Bud Light. And my man Garth Brooks down there in his new bar in Nashville still serving Bud Light in his bar, because he says we welcome all. But anyway, since Bud Light did this, the CEO of ultra-right beer, Seth Weathers, created this beer company. And the beer company, ultra-right beer, is marketed as 100% woke-free American beer. I'll get into woke in a minute, but 100% woke American, woke free beer. And he's also known, Seth Weathers, as a conservative dad. He did not hire Gomez to do this post. His quote was saying that there's no partnership. Beautiful women are just naturally attracted to our brand. Now, there's so much that goes into that quote. And I will say there are some right wing conservatives out there that are attractive. Lauren Boebert, you know, she's a pretty woman. I choose AOC over her. Okay, that's just my preference. But I'm not going to deny that she isn't attractive. I don't know if there's a whole lot of attractive right wing conservative women out there. I haven't done a poll. What I will say is, Ms. Gomez, she's attractive. Here's the crazy thing about this ultra-right woke beer. It's popular somewhat in the right-wing community. You can only get it online, and it's $20 a six-pack. Now, I don't know about you. It's been a long time since I had some beer. But $20 for a six-pack? That's crazy to me. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's more than $3.50 per can of beer. You can get you a six-pack of Bud Light for $12. You're going to drink that ultra-right conservative beer. So Gomez is trying to be a right-wing influencer, and she posted something. One of the quotes on her post was something like, this is going to make a lot of people mad, 100% woke-free, which is, once again, ultra-right beer's slogan. I want to get into this idea of woke. And Black people, by and large, the majority, generally speaking, not everybody, we're not a monolith, right? But generally speaking, Black people understand what the history of woke is, right? The history of woke is to be aware of racial injustices, right? It was stay woke when you were driving in those certain roads in the South, because some of them had sundown laws that meant that Black people couldn't be out after sundown. These were legitimately real things in my parents' lifetime. So before me, but in my parents' lifetime, this was actually a thing. It's not that far ago. My parents are still young. Let me tell you how young my parents are, even though they're in their 60s. Let me tell you how young my parents are. My parents can operate an iPhone sometimes better than I can, right? Their emoji game is real strong, and not that weird, like, boomer emoji game. Like, their game is strong. In my parents' lifetime, there were such things as sundown laws, because my parents were born before the start of the civil rights movement, which means they were born when Jim Crow was a thing. So when Jim Crow was a thing, and actually even into the 70s and 80s, like, you didn't want to be caught on the wrong roads in the South. I don't know if that's like that now, but it definitely was like that no more than 30, 40 years ago, okay? The rule was stay woke. You had to stay awake, stay aware of where you were driving to be safe. That's what woke means. Woke means to be aware, to be safe, to understand plights against marginalized people, whether it be Black people, and then the LGBTQ plus community kind of latched onto it as well. And I, as a Black person, will lend them that woke term, the true meaning of it, because it applies to them as well. But it's taking on a new twist. And when people say they are anti-woke, be clear of what they mean by that. What they mean by that is they're anti-Black, they're anti-LGBTQ+, they're anti anything other than Christian straight. Now, I say Christian straight, and I typically say white Christian straight male. And I'm going to say Christian straight because there are some Black folks out there that's anti-woke. They got them on Fox News. They got them on OAN. You know, we're not all a monolith. We don't all believe the same. Don't believe what these news organizations like Fox and OAN are telling you, that there's this large exodus out of the Black community going into this right-wing ideology. That's just not the case, right? Are there some? Yeah. And am I surprised? I was watching WrestleMania a couple of weekends ago, and I saw a black man in Philadelphia. Granted, people from all over the world come to WrestleMania. So I don't know where this black man was from, but it was a black man in Philadelphia at WrestleMania with a Make America Great hat on. So, you know, they out there. They out there. I don't know. Actually, that's not true. I was going to say, I don't know anybody. I actually don't know him. But during a pandemic, this is 2020, I'm meeting my dad for brunch for Father's Day. I'm walking in downtown DC. I see this black man with not only a Make America Great red hat on, but also a shirt. I'm ice grilling him. He's not ice grilling me, but I see him kind of trying to, he's eyeballing me, but not directly, meaning that he's looking off in the distance, but I know he's paying attention to me. And I'm like, man, go ahead. What you want to do? Because you a traitor. And I know what people are going out there to say, you know, that are supporters of President Trump. Black people can't support President Trump. I'm going to just give you a clear answer to that question from me. I'm speaking from me and not from the entire black community. Hell no. Hell no. Black people cannot support Trump. I'm sorry. I know the people that support his policies and support him want to say that he's not a racist and want to change up the words that he said, but he's a racist. And there's plenty of evidence to back this up. I'm not going to run down the list because I've already done it before. Those people that want to argue that point, they just want to argue that point and not look at facts. And it doesn't matter what you present to them. They're just not going to accept it, because by accepting that and they support him, they would have to accept the fact that they support a racist and that in actuality, they might also be a racist. And contrary to what some people believe, you know, not all these people that are Trump supporters and right wing conservatives want to be considered racist, though they might be. Don't want to be considered racist. Being racist is actually a bad thing. Like, you know, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. It's like, I can't think of a different analogy. I was going to say a woman beater, but yeah, okay, almost. Ain't nobody out here claiming that they happy to be hitting women. Every man that's hit a woman, I don't know that they've ever bragged about it. I've actually not known of a man personally that I know hit women. And just openly was like, yeah, I'll be hitting on women. I haven't known that. I don't know too many men that have. I probably can't even count them on three fingers. That means it's not more than three. Like, people don't want to admit the bad things about themselves. So the idea that they would support somebody who's a racist, President Trump, former President Trump, would mean to acknowledge that, well, they don't really give a damn about racism. And that they might be racist too. And nobody wants to admit their faults. So they lean into the fact that, oh, you're creating a false narrative. That isn't true. And they convince themselves in their own head for that to be the case. And that's not necessarily the truth. But people don't ever want to admit the bad qualities about themselves. And there's this idea with woke, right? And I got into an argument with, And I'll say he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. About this idea of entitlements or entitlement programs, welfare programs. And he's a white gentleman. And we got into a debate of him comparing himself to black people in the sense that he was poor and he made it. And I said, well, okay, let's examine this. One, you weren't poor. Your parents were cheap, but you weren't poor. Like, you grew up as a little kid, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. You had your own room. You weren't poor. I shared a room with my brother and sister until I was 10. I didn't get my own room until I was almost 13. And I wouldn't even consider us poor, poor. We were working class. We were on the way up, but not poor, poor. I know people that actually had to share beds. That's poor, right? Where you actually don't know where your next meal is coming from. Like I always knew where my next meal was coming from. So there's this idea of these people that are anti-woke that talk about, you know, I don't like all the entitlement programs. I don't like welfare. Just pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And Martin Luther King had this great quote. It's very difficult. I'm paraphrasing here. It's very difficult to pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you have no boots, right? So this idea of, well, just pick yourself up and do it, it isn't apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. It's not the same thing. And as I was in further thought about this topic, and as I was thinking about how I was going to approach this topic, I had to start thinking about it as something very simple. Now, I can understand the perspective of, and it's not all white people, but in my life, the majority of people that are against welfare programs or helping, right, tend to be white. Like, and they tend to say, not to say that, first of all, not to say that all white people are like this, because also I know a bunch of white people that are like, let's give away everything for free. And I'm like, no, let's not do that. So I'm not a centralist. I lean closer to the left than I do with the right, but I'm somewhere at, if the left was zero and the right was 100, I'm more like 35, 40. Right? Like I'm way closer to the left, but I'm not too far from the middle. Okay. So this idea that you could just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, typically from my perspective in my lifetime, comes from white people. Now, I have this unique perspective because I've grown up in almost every socioeconomical class except for rich, right? And so I've been in a lot of white spaces, especially considering what I do for a living, where I went to school, what I study, things of this nature. I'm often in a lot of white spaces and I have a lot of white friends. I have friends and I have white friends, and my white friends are from all different backgrounds. So I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what I'm talking about here. Arnold Schwarzenegger gave a speech at a college commencement somewhere in California, I can't remember which one, in which he talked about he hated the idea of people saying that they did it alone and they didn't need help. He was like, I made it in this country because I got help. That people fed me when I didn't have food. People gave me clothes when I didn't have clothes. This idea that you could do it all on your own and that you've done it all on your own is a falsehood, and that we all have help along the way. Sometimes people don't want to recognize it. And then as I'm examining why certain people would look at entitlement programs, welfare programs, and say, well, I did it. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Why can't they? It's because everybody wants to be the hero of their own story. Nobody wants to, when people tell their story about where they came from and how they made it, very rarely do they talk about all the advantages or the help that they got along the way. My friend, going back to my friend talking about how he grew up poor. He didn't grow up poor. He had money, right? And he had a house and he lived in a pretty decent neighborhood. At least it was middle class, which means that he went to a better school, got a better education, right? And he saw certain things in life that prepared him for the future that a lot of people without those advantages economically wouldn't see. So he went to college, right? And he got help financially in college, whether that he wants to admit it or not, he got help. His parents helped him along the way, and he always had a safety net. He could always go back home. Some people go to college and they can't go back home. So this idea that people do it alone and they pull themselves by the bootstraps, it's not true. Everybody has help along the way, but people don't want to examine that because, once again, they want to be the hero to their own story. It goes all the way back to, you know, Kobe Bryant, who's a remix of Michael Jordan, and you know, they said he played a lot of hero basketball. Like he wanted to be the reason for somebody's victory. And I'll even put myself in that example, going all the way back, telling the story of how I threw away a gold medal from an AAU tournament. And my mom went in the trash can to go get it because she was like, why'd you throw this away? And I said, well, I didn't play that much. I didn't participate that much. And she was like, you were part of the team. I didn't look at it like that. If I couldn't put my stamp on that I helped produce this, I didn't want to have any part of that. People feel that way in their own lives. They want to believe I did it all by myself. I didn't even have any help. Not acknowledging that there was, whether you want to admit it or not, either direct help or indirect help to help you get to where you were. Look, these right-wing people that are so self-absorbed, and I will say they're self-absorbed, to look at themselves and think of themselves as a higher thing because they had help, but not acknowledge the help they got because they want to be the hero of their story, is the reason why you have people doing this anti-woke thing. Recoining the phrase to basically mean anything different than me. And that's basically what it is. So Ms. Gomez is now a right-wing influencer, and there's money in it. There is more money in being a right-wing influencer than there is in being a left-wing influencer, because there's always going to be more money in hate than there is in love. And I'm going to get into more of that in the next segment, but I can't give you any better examples of what I'm talking about here. Listen to what I'm saying and really examine your story. I can admit I would not be here without certain advantages that I know other people didn't have. Contrary to what you might think, because I'm a Black man, it has nothing to do with affirmative action. It has everything to do with my parents busting their ass to give me every opportunity that they could give me to get to where I am today. And there are people that have been helping me along the way, Black and white, straight and gay, male and female and they, that have helped me get here. I acknowledge that. This is not a one-man hero journey that got me to this point. I acknowledge the help that's helped me get here. The people that have been pushing me in my back to move forward along the way. Shouldn't you do the same thing? I don't know. I'm just asking you to think about it. I'm not asking you what to think. I'm just asking you to think about it. All right, I'm not done with talking about hate. This is a little bit different. It's not necessarily talking about white people looking down upon Black people. It's white people looking down upon Jewish people. So I just read an article. It's on an NBC News site, not MSNBC. NBC News. Remember when I tell you guys to pay attention to where you're getting your news from, right? If it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, ON, all that stuff, that's news commentary, right? Like, they're giving you news, but they're also giving you commentary on top of that news. It's not straight journalism. NBC News, ABC News, CBS News, Al Jazeera, things like that. They're going to give you news. So anyway, on the NBC News site, there was this article written. It was called Verified Pro-Nazi X Accounts Flourish Under Elon Musk. The story was done by David Ingram and Laura Caldery. So basically, the article discusses how Elon Musk's, his ex, Twitter, okay, has become a hub for Nazi support and propaganda. The article mentions that at least 150 paid premium subscriber X accounts and thousands of unpaid accounts have posted or amplified pro-Nazi content on X in recent months. These accounts often violate X's rules consistently posting anti-Semitic or pro-Nazi materials. Examples of these type of materials that are once again against X's policy are praising Nazi soldiers, sharing Nazi symbols, and denials of the Holocaust. I'm going to get in more to the article, but in this rise of anti-Semitism, and there is absolutely a rise in anti-Semitism throughout the world, it is very, very important to pay attention to the hate. I find it extremely, extremely convenient for certain Republicans, not all of them, not all of them, but certain Republicans who have courted the far right extremist fringes of the party, that have courted Nazi support. I mean, the Unite the Right was all about that. Remember President Trump said there's good people on both sides? I don't know how you play with those words. He said there was good people on both sides. No, there wasn't. There was a group of people out there protesting hate, and there was another group of people out there praising hate. So it's not the same thing. But you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was talking about Jewish space lasers, now praising Israel's defense system, and now in such support of the Israeli state, when, you know, they're always quick to throw George Soros under the bus, a Jewish businessman that supports Democrats, under the bus any chance they get. And they're always willing to court, once again, that vote. What do you think the Proud Boys were? The January 6th was led by a lot of these neo-Nazi white supremacist groups. And it wasn't FBI undercover in these groups. It was those groups. It were these people. And they're growing. They're growing in popularity. During the women's tournament in Utah or Idaho, a team had to leave their hotel because they were being harassed by a white supremacist group. Look it up. It's a real thing. It actually happened in 2024. It's a growing thing. It's a concern. So, okay, let me get back to this article. The pro-Nazi content is not confined to just the fringes of the platform. During one 7-day period last month in March, 7 of the most widely shared pro-Nazi posts on X occurred 4.5 million views total. This was during a 7-day period last month. 4.5 million. One post with 1.9 million views promoted a false and long debunked conspiracy theory that 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. Now, I don't know what the exact number was of how many Jews died in the Holocaust. When people say 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, I believe that. They had concentration camps, but they were death camps with gas chambers, killing people. We have pictures of it. There are pictures of it. And this is before AI. And it's not like movies was really a thing during World War II. I mean, you had silent movies with Charlie Chaplin. It wasn't no Gone with the Wind and stuff like that during that time. They didn't even have color on movies and stuff. This was not doctored. This happened. And the idea that they are deniers, they're not deniers. They know it happened. They just don't want to acknowledge it. Goes back to my original, the first segment. People not want to acknowledge things that are true, things that are real. Because somehow, some way, it belittles them in their mind. Okay. There was more than 5,300 verified and unverified accounts that reshared that particular post about the fact that they were denying that 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust. And other popular posts were reshared hundreds of times within the space. Now, Twitter or X's policies ban glorifying violence. It's a broad prohibition. That's not the right word. But I'm going to get back to that in a minute. X sometimes uses to take down pro-Nazi content and accounts. So basically, their policies is kind of broad. And X is like, yeah, okay, well, maybe we could take this down. It's broad. It's very general. It's not very detailed. So some of these posts and everything are able to sip through the cracks under Elon Musk's guise as free speech. I'll get into that in a minute. But the rules also ban praising violent entities. And they say that the platform will apply labels to hate imagery like swastikas, but they still allow swastikas. So this idea that it will ban praising violent entities, but it will still allow swastikas on the site and they'll just label it. Isn't that an example of a violent entity? You see what I'm saying with these broad kind of like context of what rules apply, what rules don't apply? I mean, it's almost like X is trying to be like an NBA or NFL official that some calls get called during the game and some calls don't get called during the playoffs. That's kind of how they're treating X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Like some things, you know, we're gonna decide in the moment if this is a banning offense or not a banning offense. And just from last month, you can see that they are letting a lot of negative, violent imagery pass with a little notation. And they do the little notation. Anybody that's on X or Twitter, they see the little notations. The article suggests that X does not appear to be enforcing any of these policies. And that's clear from the 4.5 million million views certain posts got just in a 7-day period of last month. The findings of the latest evidence, this is all from the article, of flushing Nazi network on S under, it's a flourishing Nazi network that's happening on X that this article has basically discovered. Previous investigations by news organizations and anti-hate watchdogs have documented many examples of anti-Semitism, white supremacy, and support for Nazism on X. Basically, X has become a place where hate lives. Now, Twitter has always been just a nasty place. When people making comments, just Twitter is just a negative. It's just a negative space. It really is. Instagram is almost like that, but there's a lot of people that would do a lot of positive. You can see positive stuff on Instagram and TikTok. You know, Twitter has just been a burning trash dump. What this article is basically saying through evidence and investigation is that ever since Elon Musk has taken over, Twitter has become a bigger cesspool. The verified users sharing the pro-Nazi content have entered into a mutual beneficial relationship with Elon Musk because they're paying $8 a month or more for premium services that are available to all premium subscribers. In exchange, they get prioritization, meaning they get priority over other texts when they reply to posts, and they have an opportunity to monetize their content through ads. So this is a money-making scheme that Nazis are thriving under, and Nazi sympathizers, white supremacists. And once again, why is this important? Why is this important? Back in the day, there weren't a lot of spaces for people that truly hate to meet up, right? They were controlled, contained. Contained is the right word. Hate was really contained before social media because everything was contained before social media. Before social media, you dated who was in your city. Maybe if you went to college, and through college, you would go visit your friends who were from other places. You might meet other people. And then from that way, you would open up your space for dating. But before social media, dating was pretty much relegated to your city. Now dating is anywhere in the world. Hate groups are the same. Where it used to just be, hey, you had to find the people that hated around you. Because it was not really easy. You could kind of find it on internet forums. Right? Like that's always been a thing. It's been a rise since the internet has become a thing. But even still, it didn't give you the access to large groups of people like social media does. And I'm not saying that social media is a bad thing. I think social media is a good thing. I think social media is a positive thing. When people that have the right ideals choose to be positive. However, with those people that choose to be negative, social media has given them a bigger platform. It used to be a time where David Duke rarely got on TV. David Duke, who used to be the grandmaster, and might still be the grandmaster of the Ku Klux Klan, he once ran for office, several different offices in Louisiana. And it used to be hard for these people to get any type of popularity, to gain any type of steam, to gain any type of engagement, right? It was really tough. You do a couple of, you know, marches or something like that, unless you had a whole group of people or you were in an area that was sympathetic to your cause, you weren't really getting anywhere. Now through social media and more specifically with Twitter /X, specifically under Elon Musk, hate has grown. And so it's very important to understand where Elon Musk falls in all of this. So what is his response to all of this? Elon Musk, who is known as a free speech absolutist, has responded to the controversy surrounding pro-Nazi content on his platform X. He responded to a tweet where a social media user appeared to push the Great Replacement conspiracy theory on X, claiming that Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of hatred against whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. In other words, this post basically said that this is so ridiculous. I'm trying to gather my thoughts on this one because it's so ridiculous that Jewish people have been putting out hate like anti-Semitists have been doing towards them. That's basically what this post was saying. So it was a post on X, and this clearly exemplifies Elon Musk and what he thinks about all this hatred on X. Musk responds to the tweet, "You have said the actual truth." Let me go back, because maybe you guys weren't following me here, because my speech impediment is really bad today. I don't know what it is. I'm stumbling over all my words, but thank you for bearing with me. But let me go back. It's a great replacement theory. This tweet is a great replacement theory, conspiracy theory, claiming that Jewish communities have been pushing the exact kind of hatred against whites that they claim they want people to stop using against them. And Elon Musk says, "You ain't speaking nothing but the truth." That's what Elon Musk said. So Elon Musk is kind of supports a lot of what these Nazis, white supremacists are saying on Twitter. That's not me coming to that idea. That's basically him in his own words saying it. That's not basically him. That's him in his own words saying it. It's the reason why he's not so adamant about taking down Nazi post and growth on his X account. And it's profitable, right? Making that money. What did I say earlier? Right-wing extremists, influencers, way more money in that than left-wing. It's a lot more money in hate than there is in love. Don't nobody want to hear about that love stuff. Everybody want to hear about that hate. I will admit, I'm messy. I love gossip. This whole thing that's going on with Drake and J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, Rick Ross, and then Chris Brown and Quavo getting into it is juicy. It's the reason why we love watching those TV reality shows. We love Housewives, Real Housewives, and Hip Hop, Love and Hip Hop. And before that, Flavor of Love and all them little dating shows. You know, I loved the show Change of Heart. That's back in the early 2000s. But if you don't know what that show is, Google it. No, it's a messy show. People love messy. Start spreading love. People don't want to hear that. Start spreading positivity. People get tired of that. People want negativity. It's profitable to be negative. And what Elon Musk is showing is that he is leaning into that negativity. He's leaning into that hatred. Because actually, it's not super profitable because X has been losing a lot of money. But in his eyes, it is giving people a larger voice for their hate, and he's going to make a couple of coins off of it. Okay. All right. That's the reason why I have this show. Not that I believe that I'm I don't think I'm a great orator, but not because I believe that I'm some great person that can lead change. No, as I've often said on this show, you know, I've got my own flaws and I can be a bit of a hypocrite in certain areas myself. I do self-reflection. And when people tell me about myself, things that I can't see, I listen to them because I'm always trying to evolve and grow. I don't always think that I'm right. I think I'm right the majority of the time because my thoughts are well thought out, well researched. I don't just speak about things that I don't know about. Not everybody has that idea in life. So if I can give you a different perspective of looking at things that, like I said, hits a few people and helps a few people grow and learn, that's all worth it for me. I am one of those people that's going to preach positivity and love. I'm also going to get messy sometimes. You know, I got to give y'all a little bit of the messy, but I'm not going to get messy as in hatred. Even when I speak about people that are basically against me and against my causes and against the things that I believe in, I don't hate them. I don't hate them at all. In a lot of ways, I try to understand them. And sometimes I can understand a little bit about where they're coming from. A little bit. But that doesn't mean that I'll ever agree with them. But most importantly, I'm not going to hate them. I don't hate anybody. Well, I hate one former client that tried to get me fired. I do hate her. I put her gender out there too. It was a her. She's the evil person. Not just because of what she tried to do against me, but just not a good person by and large. She's one of the people, I don't think she's not a Nazi, Nazi sympathizer or white supremacist. She's not a white supremacist in the standpoint because she isn't white. She definitely leans into white supremacy though. I'm not going to get into that anymore about defining what white supremacy is. I've already done it several times on the show. The point I'm trying to make is that hate has a bigger platform. And I was listening to a GOP poster on CNN that said that the divide in America is bigger than it ever has been. And I just listened to what he had to say. And I said, that's a crock of shit. The divide has always been there. The only difference is that people have a bigger platform to say what they feel. And there's no more filters. But these have always been the thoughts of the people. They're just expressing it a lot more. There is no bigger divide. That's like, there aren't any, well, there might be bigger disasters than there are now. But the reason why it seems like there's always a bunch of people dying at the bigger disasters, we have more access to news, quicker news than we ever had before. Are things changing? Marginally, but there's not this drastic change in the divide in this country. The divide has always been there. And I told you, as a Black man that's grown up in a lot of white spaces, and somebody who always picks on people being slick with their words, thinking that they're hiding their true selves when they're not, I can tell you, the divide has always been this strong. Game didn't change. It just got more fierce. Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Bruce Anthony here, and welcome to another episode of Unsolicited Perspectives. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind lately, the importance of staying hydrated and taking care of ourselves. Whether it's prioritizing our health and wellness, or gearing up for festival seasons, or just gearing up for whatever season or time of year, there's one brand that's been my go-to for all things hydration, Liquid IV. Speaking of health and wellness, let's dive into how Liquid IV can fuel your well-being. Imagine starting your day off right, feeling refreshed and energized. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is the missing piece in your daily routine. With just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. It's perfect for those early mornings, pre-workout boosts, moments when you're just feeling run down, or even after a late night or long flights. I absolutely love how convenient Liquid IV is. The packaging makes it easy to bring with me wherever I go. And let me tell you, it's become vital daily part of my routine. The flavors, let me tell you something, they're incredible. From refreshing sea berry and strawberry lemonade to classics like lemon lime and watermelon, there's a flavor for every preference. It's like a burst of hydration with a hint of deliciousness. Picture this.
One stick of liquid IV mixed in 16 ounces of water, hydrating you 2 times faster and more efficient than water alone. And with 12 mouth-watering flavors, you'll never get bored with your hydration routine. Plus, liquid IV is packed with 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and of course, vitamin C. It's also made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. This is hydration at its finest. But it doesn't stop there. Liquid IV believes that access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. That's why they partner with leading organizations, finding innovative solutions to help communities protect both their water and their futures. It's incredible to know that Liquid IV has already donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. They truly walk the talk. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code unsolicited at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code unsolicited at liquidiv.com. Remember, folks, taking care of ourselves should always be a priority. So why wait? Head over to liquidiv.com, pick your favorite flavors, and experience hydration like never before. Stay refreshed, stay hydrated, and keep rocking those unsolicited perspectives.
All right, we've been real serious on the show, and y'all know how I like to lighten the mood at the end of the show. You know, the sibling happy hour being on a Friday, I'll try and make it light for you guys. But I got to give y'all the real. That's the, kind of the reason why you're coming on and you're listening and watching the show, because I give you the real. Either you like what I have to say or you hate what I have to say, but you're interested in it nevertheless. And the reason why I know this is because of the analytics. And the analytics are showing that this show is growing way faster than I ever thought that it could. But, you know, every now and then I got to give you guys a lighter tone, right? Because I've already talked about right-wing conservatism and Nazis, two subjects that are not liked and that you can't find too much humor in. But we're going to go through my memes now and try to find a little bit of humor, but also be real on some of these memes. Now, I've gone through this segment before. I'm going to go through it again. These are memes that are on my personal page most of the time that I either like or I put in my stories. If you want to know what my personality is like in its totality, because I'm not conservative on this show, but I'm kind of reserved because I'm doing a show. Basically, in real life, I'm kind of a creep. Anybody that knows me personally, I'm kind of a creep. Not as like a real creep, but you know, I'm a little bit of a creep. So I like stuff that is, you know, a little bit on the edge. And that's what my personality is. So this segment is about expressing the memes that I enjoy. And so the first meme that I'm going to express, it says, a haiku about life. I am so tired. Where did all my money go? My back is hurting. Now, if this doesn't exemplify how I feel in my life 95% of the time, I don't know what does. And as you get older, this is really life. Like, my back be hurting for no reason. I hurt my neck the other day getting out of bed. I just turned wrong. I didn't hurt it while I was sleeping. It didn't hurt while I was laying down. My eyes open. I said, okay, it's time to rise. First of all, to sit up in the bed, I do this little rocking thing where I rock back on my shoulders and kick my feet out so I can bring my whole body forward. And I'm not out of shape. I'm out of shape for me, but I'm in good shape. But that's what it takes for me. I got to rock myself to the sit up position to get out of bed. And as I rocked myself in the sit up position, I was fine. So it wasn't the rocking. All I did was turn my body to put my feet on the ground, pull some in my neck. Now, that's not my back, but stuff happens with my back all the time. My sister jokes on me all the time when we're filming the show and we take breaks in between we're filming the show. She hears me get up from this chair that I'm sitting on as I'm filming this right now. And there's always like, there's a grunt every single time. You know why? Because I'm almost 44 years old. And even though I'm in good shape, my bones, my muscles, they be getting tight. So my back is always hurting. I don't know where my money goes. I honestly don't. I looked at my bank account earlier today. There's plenty of money in there, but there's not as much money as I thought it should be in there. And so I'm going through the charges and I'm like, no, this is absolutely me. I just be spending money. I don't know why. Part of it was the trip to Atlanta, but that wasn't everything. I mean, when I came back home, I was spending money again. I spent money this weekend. I spent money. I bought a new coffee table just to veer off topic. I went on TikTok shop because TikTok has been advertising this particular coffee table that has a part that comes up and it's either like a desk, you convert it to like a desk or what have you. It's a little part that comes up. So I said, I'm going to buy it. Because TikTok had just given me such a great deal, right? I think it was around $100 originally, and which lets you know it's not made that great. But I'm expensive in some areas and cheap in a lot of areas. And for a coffee table, the fact that I haven't had one in quite some time, I will experiment on this cheap coffee table because it's not a whole lot of money. And if I don't like it, I can just get rid of it, right? And the reason why I say it wasn't a whole lot of money, because if it was $100, I would not have wasted that for an experiment. But it was something like 50% off. No, it wasn't 50% off. It was a percentage off. And then because I had never bought on TikTok shop before, it gave me a $40 coupon. So it ended up costing me like 30 bucks. I can spend 30 bucks on a chance that the coffee table actually comes into what I want it to be. It came a couple of days later. In this box that was heavy. Mind you, I work out all the time. This box was heavy. So I was like, okay, it's got a little bit of heft to it. Okay, maybe it's not made with poor quality. Maybe it's good quality, good product. Open up the box. It's like an IKEA box. So if you buy things from IKEA, you know, it's pretty good quality as far as their furniture is concerned. It just, you got to be a mathematician, a physicist, and an engineer to put the stuff together. So I'm texting my bestie. And I'm like, I got this coffee table early Saturday morning, came back from the gym. I said, you know what? I'm gonna try and put this coffee table today, put it together today. Now, I'm not the most mechanically inclined person in the world. If I put things together, something is always going to be wrong. Either there's going to be a panel backwards, or you know those little screws where you got to line it up with the nail that's already in there, and then you got to line it up and you got to turn it to lock it. Always screw those up. Always. All the time. Something is always jacked up every time I put something together. I just don't have that ability. My brother took all of it. I took all the booty in the family and he took all the brains for putting stuff together. And my sister took the majority of the artistic ability, even though I grabbed a little bit of it too. Okay. So I don't have this great mechanical ability. And this booklet, it's 13 steps. But I told my bestie, I was like, you know what? I'm reading through this booklet and they made it Bruce Abel. They made it Bruce Abel because everything was labeled and even the individual nails were all in this big bag, but were organized into little baggies that had a letter corresponding. And the instructions were like, take panel H, flip it on the backside, take screws 7, put them in the bigger hole closer to the outside of the pan. I mean, it was just so detailed instructions. Now, I took a lot of breaks as I was putting this thing together because I was drinking and I wanted to make sure I did it right. I put it all together and it came out great. And I'm actually really pleased with it. It's just like something I would get from IKEA. It's not poorly made wood. There was no splintering or anything like that. The nails went in just fine. It's sturdy. I sat on it and it held me. It's a good product. So I recommend TikTok shop. But yeah, so when I say I'd be spending money, I'd just be spending money. Did I need to buy that coffee table? No, but it was too good of a deal. And I'm not going to pass up on a good deal. It is really, if it's a good deal, I really hate to pass up on it. I might just throw something on the credit card just because the deal is too good to pass up. But okay, let's get back to these memes because that was a long-winded way of saying I'd be spending money. Also, just to go back to the haiku, the very first thing, I'm tired all the time. I think the reason why I'm having so much trouble getting my words out for this show is because I'm tired. I don't think I've recovered from the Atlanta trip. you would have thought that I had a good weekend. I was working this weekend. I was working. I enjoyed my Sunday fun day. I was supposed to go to bed a little bit earlier. I woke up early this morning, not on purpose. I'm tired. I'm tired all the time. So that's funny. Okay. This is part of the thing I was, this is part of the example I was talking about where I said I'm a little bit of a creep. Ladies and gentlemen, put your children away for what I'm about to read. Date people who want to suck your private parts, not your energy. Now, it's creeper, but also it's very, very important. I have dated some women. Some of them actually listen to this show. And the ones that are listening to this show, this ain't about you. But I've actually dated some women that are energy sucking succubus. Like, I'm a laid back person, and that's going to lead me to my next meme next. But I'm a very laid back person. I'm even killed. I don't get too hype one way or the other. Like, I'm not going to get too hype. I'm not going to get too mad. And I'm very patient. My job has taught me that. I'm a very, very patient person, even though people that would know me from my youth days when I was younger would say I'm a hothead impatient. I was back in the day. Something happens with age and you start to realize that certain things just don't matter, right? And certain things do matter. You start to realize what's important and what's not important. That long delay that I told you guys about on the last show, where I was at the airport or in a plane all day long, I'm just taking a stride. Like, yes, it was inconvenient. Yes, it ruined my day. Yes, it's probably the reason why I'm still tired. Nobody set out to make my day like that. That was not on purpose. There's no reason why I would take it out on the flight attendants or the pilot or even really the airline. You know, and the airline made a good job of accommodating us afterwards by giving us vouchers that's going to pay for my round trip ticket back to Atlanta to celebrate my sister's 40th birthday. Like, there's no real reason to blow a gasket over something that you can't control and nobody else can really control. It's just a situation. So I kind of just be chilling. But a lot of people suck the hell out of that energy from me. A lot of women. Now, it's my fault that I allow it to happen. And I've been doing a good job over 2024 of setting reasonable boundaries. I've cut more than a few people out of my life because they were soul sucking succubus. and I don't regret it. My life is grander and I don't miss them. But yes, choose people that suck your private parts, not your energy. That's a really important one. Next meme. This was real. This goes back to the point where I say that I'm laid back and chill. I might be laid back, but I can lean forward real quick. That was the meme. I might be laid back, but I can lean forward real quick. What does that mean? That means I might be chill. Don't test me. Because I can get real hot real fast. And it could be a big problem for all people that's involved. I'm chill, cat. Just don't bother me. Just don't try to cross me or do nothing wrong to me. Everything is going to be all good. But when you try to come at me wrong, I'm going to flip it. And you're going to see another side of me. A 180, not a 360, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot stress it enough. It's a 180. It's a 360. You're right back to the original point. I could do a 180 real fast and not be laid back. So I thought that was interesting. This is very, very important. And I feel like people really need to hear this. I've done a really good, I don't know if I've done a good job. I've really attempted to monitor, to make sure that I don't do this very thing that I'm about to express from this meme. And it is, normalize not bringing up relatable story about yourself when someone is telling you something about themselves. Just listen. So a lot of times people will tell you about their plight and what they're going through. And the other person will say, yeah, you know, I've been through that same thing like this one time and completely not pay attention to what that person was opening up and telling you about. And, you know, that's something that I've done in the past myself. I've tried to stop that because I realized that's taking the air out of somebody who's opening up to me. Sometimes it's really important just to listen. This is a really great example for men to follow, heterosexual men when dealing with their women significant others. They don't want you to solve their problem unless they ask for you to solve their problem. Yes, they may talk about the same problem over and over and over again, and you may be like, there's an easy solution to this. That's not the point. The point is that they're just sharing, and they want you to just listen. Don't try and solve it unless they ask for you to solve it. Don't try to solve it. Just listen. And it was actually a female friend that pointed it out to me about my own thing to kind of bring it back to me. And I won't say that a person being self-centered, sometimes people are trying to make that connection like, hey, you're going through a tough time. I've been there. I've come out the other side of it. You can make your way through. Sometimes it's a comforting thing, but nevertheless, just shut up and listen to them. Because that's all people really, really want is to be heard. And if you cut them off, then they're not going to really be comfortable opening up with you. All right, the last one. People who ask, can I call you, are so sweet. Like, obviously you can't, but so sweet. Don't call me. Don't call me. Text me. I will have whole conversations through text message. And the only time I really need to call when it's a long conversation is if I need to answer like right here, right now. That's like, hey, I'm about to turn on the street. Is this where you live? That's the time to call me, all right? Or for me to call. Anything other than that can be resolved in a text message. I'm not trying to get no phone calls. I will watch that phone ring and text you back like, hey, what's up? Because I'm not going to answer that phone call. The only people that can call me that I'm going to always answer the phone call is my immediate family. Some extended family, if they call me out the blue, something might have went down and I'll answer the phone. And my bestie. That's pretty much it. Because I know if they're calling, they're either calling because I haven't spoken to them in a while and we need to catch up, or something has gone on. Some people call me sometimes just to chit chat. And I'm like, hey, I'm busy. I ain't got time to chit chat. I can follow what you got going on in your life through social media, or you could text me. Or if there's some party that you need to invite me to, that can be in a text. Or you know what? An Evite. People still do those. I did them for my own birthday party. People still do those. You ain't got to call me. Don't call me. That goes out for everybody. People don't have my phone number, but don't call me. I'm not looking to hear from you, but I am looking to hear from you through the comments, through DMs, through emails for the show. I enjoy most of the time reading these comments and emails and ideas for show topics. Everybody wants to be a producer on the show. You should talk about this and that. And I always say, yeah, I could probably talk about that for 5 minutes and then what's next, or that's not interesting to me. And I'm very grateful that people are offering ideas to help produce the show. Hell, it becomes challenging to produce multiple shows a week and topics to talk about. But I enjoy it. Even when I'm stumbling over my words like today and having a hard time, you know, landing that point that I'm trying to make. I'll get there eventually. It just takes me a little while. But thank you for riding with my long-winded ass. But thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, as always, I'll holla. Whew, that was a hell of a show. Thank you for rocking with us here on Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony. Now, before you go, don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and share our podcast wherever you're listening or watching it to it. Pass it along to your friends. If you enjoy it, that means the people that you rock with will enjoy it also. So share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the noise. And for all those people that say, well, I don't have a YouTube. If you have a Gmail account, you have a YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch our video podcast. But the real party is on our Patreon page, After Hours Uncensored and Talking Straight-ish. After Hours Uncensored is another show with my sister. And once again, the key word there is uncensored. Those are exclusively on our Patreon page. Jump onto our website at unsolicitedperspective.com for all things us. That's where you can get all of our audio, video, our blogs, and
and even buy our merch. And if you're really feeling generous and want to help us out, you can donate on our donations page. Donations go strictly to improving our software and hardware so we can keep giving you guys good content that you can clearly listen to and that you can clearly see. So any donation would be appreciative. Most importantly, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and watching and supporting us. And I'll catch you next time. Audi 5000. Peace.